Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Zaggle Prepaid Ocean Services Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Equirus Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Kindly note that this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I would now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Muskan. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining the call. I extend a warm welcome to all of you. On behalf of Equirus, I welcome the management of Zaggle Prepaid Ocean Services Limited to give a brief update on 1Q FY26 results and address investor queries. We have with us from the management Dr. Raj Narayanam, Founder and Executive Chairman, Mr. Avinash Godkhindi, MD and CEO, and Mr. Aditya Kumar, CFO. We will now begin with the brief opening remarks from the management, post which we'll have Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Rohan. Good evening to everyone. Thank you for joining the earnings call for Zaggle Prepaid Ocean Services Limited for the first quarter of fiscal year 2026. On behalf of the company, I extend a very warm welcome to all of you. On this call, we are joined by Mr. Avinash Godkhindi, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Aditya Kumar, our CFO, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. The financial results, press release, and investor presentations are uploaded on the stock exchanges and on the company website. I hope everybody has had a chance to look at it. Now, I would like to take you through the Zaggle business update. You know, talking about our quarterly performance, comparing Q1 FY26 to Q1 FY25, the company reported a healthy growth in revenues at 331 crore, you know, which is our first, you know, first best-ever quarter of Q1 at around, and the growth has been around 31%. Our adjusted EBITDA increased to INR 33 crore, growing at around 28%. You know, the PAT surged to INR 26 crore, growing significantly at around 55%. We are off to a promising start in 2026 as we continue to drive sustainable growth and strong returns through relentless product innovation, strategic collaborations, and the momentum from our recent and proposed acquisitions. Now, I would like to take you through our investments and acquisitions. I want to give you a further overview of what we have done over the last, you know, 6 months, or maybe a little bit more than 6 months. We have pursued the investment or acquisition of six companies, successfully completing two and are progressing with four more. Once finalized, this would add roughly about 600-700 people to our current workforce, you know, and this would actually, in fact, call for a change the way, you know, we have run the business. We'll need to evolve our structure to suit the business needs now that the total workforce, you know, probably would be more than double of, you know, what we are today. To align with this growth, some of the changes we aim to bring in are as follows. We plan to consolidate the technology and engineering teams, you know, across this company and create technology as a central function. We plan to unify the finance function under our group CFO so that, you know, finances of all the companies can be, you know, centralized or centralized to an extent. We plan on centralizing the HR function, enabling best practices to enhance efficiency, effectiveness, and cross-utilization of services. With these changes, we envisage savings of around 25 crore over the next 1 year, and those savings, in my opinion, you know, should only increase as efficiencies kick in. As you will all understand that, you know, acquisitions are easy, but integrations are tough, and, you know, there is where a lot of management bandwidth and effort would go in ensuring that the integration is of highest class. Our existing acquisition and investments are performing extremely well, Mobileware has generated a profit before tax of INR 2 crores in Q1 2026, surpassing its entire FY 2025 PBT. On tax panel, marquee customers signed, including Bosch for employee wellness, financial wellness, and Karma Life for tax filings for their gig workers. Leveraging the Zaggle Unified Gig Worker Savings Platform, we are expecting a further boost and increase in the number of filings, tax filings on account of extension of the deadline. Our proposed acquisition of EPIASoft will strengthen our, you know, merchant servicing and payment processing, along with RISE, which I last time, you know, gave a very detailed, you know, explanation about, you know, why we are going ahead and acquiring RISE, you know, which is an enhanced suite of spend management and AI capabilities. It's a world-class, you know, product and company. Our proposed acquisition of Greenedge, you know, meanwhile, would enhance our offering in loyalty and reward space, you know, which will give a meaningful boost to our existing Toggle platform. Our most interesting acquisition of Rio.money marks a strategic entry into the consumer credit card segment, thereby allowing us to broaden our financial offerings to a much wider captive customer base of Zaggle. This move not only diversifies our portfolio, but also leverages our strength in the UPI ecosystem, enabling seamless credit solutions for users. We continue to actively seek strategic M&A opportunities in the adjacent domains across both domestic and international markets, with the U.S. and MENA regions being the, you know, key priority markets overseas. Building on the globally proven strengths of our existing acquisitions, we plan to further reinforce market entry, navigate regional dynamics effectively, and leverage well-established partnerships through additional targeted acquisitions. You know, we are also on the verge of closing, you know, one more, you know, which is a pretty decent, you know, size deal. You know, fingers crossed, if we are able to do that, that will be great. But, you know, again, between cup and lip, there is a slip. So always, we would want to be, you know, we would want to underpromise and over-deliver. But hoping for the best, you know, on that acquisition. Now, I would like to give you the industry and Zaggle, you know, product update. Take this opportunity to highlight our product developments, which have happened. As said by Eric Schmidt of Google, the greatest breakthroughs won't come from AI alone, but from those who learn to harness it. You know, keeping this in mind, I would like to highlight some of the initiatives which we are incorporating in Zaggle. On sales automation side, we, you know, for our flagship conversational AI platform for Zintel, you know, which enhances the multi-channel customer engagement. We also want to launch our multilingual conversational AI tool in the, you know, upcoming months. Maybe about 3 to 4 months is, you know, when it should be fully ready. We have launched an AI-powered bill processing automation tool, which is already deployed, which has led to about 80% plus reduction in overall TAT for bill processing. We are also in the pilot stage of our AI-driven claim validation and approval workflow. So utilizing, you know, AI to as much means as high extent as possible. As we move forward with our integrating AI tools across our organization, our priority is to chase high-level, you know, not, it's not to chase high-level fashionable trends, but to delve deeply into, you know, specific enterprise challenges faced by our customers. You know, with this, I would also want to give a guidance that we remain extremely bullish on our growth trajectory, driven by strong fundamentals, strategic investments, and expanding the global footprint. With the robust pipeline of opportunities and a clear execution roadmap, we are confident in our ability to deliver sustained value and capture new growth avenues. You know, while I'm tempted to, you know, give you a guidance which is probably higher than, you know, what we have earlier stated of 35% to 40%, but, you know, I would wait till Q2 to be able to give you, especially keeping in mind the ongoing geopolitical uncertainties and macroeconomic volatility. But you know, we are fairly confident that we should be able to up our guidance from here, you know, which was about 35% to 40%. Now, with this, I would hand over to our CEO, Mr. Avinash Godkhindi.
Thank you, Dr. Raj, for your remarks, As mentioned by Dr. Raj, the start of FY26 has truly been a good one for Zaggle. The momentum we have built is not just encouraging, it's indicative of the scalable, resilient, and intelligent platform we have created. Zaggle now serves over 3,500 customers across a wide spectrum of industries and sectors. Even more encouraging is the fact that we continue to maintain a churn rate below 1.5%, a clear reflection of the trust our clients place in us and the reliable, ongoing value our platform delivers. By leveraging AI at the core of our product strategy, we are unlocking new levels of scale and efficiency. Our AI-led approach positions us to stay well ahead of the curve, allowing us not just to respond to market trends, but to help shape them. Today, we are proud to report that we have around 3.4 million users using the Zaggle cards and software. During this quarter, Zaggle platform fee contributed to about 10 crores, program fees contributed to about 145 crores, and Propel points contributed to about 176 crores. During this period, we also signed several marquee clients, including Hindustan Pencils, Apollo Health, MoEngage, NoScience, DTDC, CK Birla Healthcare, and Truecaller. To provide a brief overview of one of our clients, they were managing a pan-India incentive plan involving over 60,000 retailers. They faced significant challenges in tracking individual performance and the disbursement of rewards, which ultimately loss of retailers, leading to a drop in the market share itself. We addressed these issues by deploying the Propel platform, which streamlined the redemption process and automated the incentivization plan, offering more than 125 options for redemption. For another one of our clients, they were managing all non-CAPEX purchases, including services-related purchasing, in an entirely manual manner. This led to further issues on invoice reconciliation, thereby increasing cost of processing. The client also faced the challenge of maintaining separate systems for travel and expense, which further added to the reconciliation woes. We addressed all these issues by deploying the Save and Zoyer platforms, which gave them a unified platform across not only managing all their non-CAPEX and service purchases, but also gave them a complete visibility on their travel and other expenses in a seamless manner. As we move forward to our platform-based strategy, we anticipate rapid expansion supported by a robust influx of new clients and the ongoing success of our cross-selling efforts. In Q1 26, we built on our cross-sell platform, cross-selling momentum with successes on large number of clients, including Vitok Capital, Dolatram, Apollo Health, and Manipal TrueTest. I'd like to take this opportunity to elaborate a little further by giving a couple of examples. Manipal TrueTest is an existing customer for the Save solution. We recognize the potential for further collaboration and successfully plugged in our Roam solution, branch recurring operating monthly expenses solution, for their diagnostic and pathology centers to streamline the petty cash expenses by automating the process of budgeting, usage, and reconciliation. Similarly, Vito Capital has been an existing customer for our Save solution. We identified an opportunity to strengthen our partnership with them by implementing our Zoyer solution to drive greater efficiency in their procurement processes and overall vendor payouts. Next, I'd like to share some strategic alliances and collaborations that are enhancing our market presence. We are entering into channel partnership agreement with Grant Thornton. And this partnership, Grant Thornton will promote and offer our spend management solutions to an extensive network of corporate and enterprise clients of Grant Thornton. Leveraging GT's strong market presence and trusted relationships, this collaboration significantly broadens our reach by granting us access to a vast and fresh pool of potential customers. We also further strengthen our relationship with MasterCard by signing a 7-year customer business agreement for MasterCard Premium Foreign Currency co-branded prepaid cards, which offers both launch and spend-linked incentives to us. Building on the capabilities of our innovative employee benefit solution, the Smart Employee Purchase Program, Smart EPP, we have expanded our ecosystem by onboarding Tata Capital as a leading partner and OneAssist as an insurance partner. Lastly, I'm very proud and humbled to share with you that Zaggle was awarded the title of the FinTech Brand of the Year at the 5th edition of the Business World FinTech Awards 2025. Additionally, we were awarded the Great Indian B2B FinTech Brand at the third edition of the Great Indian Corporate Communication Leaders Summit and Awards 2025 by Transformance. And we also received the Pioneering FinTech Innovation in Spend Management Award at the ET Excellence Telangana 2025, further underscoring our commitment to industry excellence. I'll now hand over to our CFO, Aditya, to take you through the financial update. Thank you.
Thank you, Avinash. I'm pleased to share that CARE Ratings has assigned Fragile a credit rating of A- stable for availing credit facilities from banks. This rating underscores our strong financial discipline and strength of our well-established business model. In Q1 FY26, we delivered robust revenue growth of 31.4% YoY, reaching to 331 crore. All our three revenue streams contributed to this performance, with the Propel platform surging 50.6% on YoY basis and SaaS fee increasing 19.8% on YoY. Our adjusted EBITDA rose to 27.9% year-on-year, reaching to 33 crore this quarter versus 26 crore in Q1 last year, reflecting strong operational leverage. As Dr. Raj and Avinash highlighted, product development and AI remain strategic priorities for Fragile, and we continue to invest heavily in these areas. Consequently, our intangible asset base have been expanding. As a result, depreciation and amortization expenses for the quarter stood at 7 crore compared to 2 crore in Q1 FY25. Our PAT increased to INR 26 crore from INR 17 crores in Q1 FY25, a 54.8% YoY growth. On cash PAT, which includes net profit along with depreciation and ESOP expenses, saw a 57.6% increase on YoY basis, totaling to 35 crore. Furthermore, our PAT rose by 54.8% from the previous year, reaching to INR 26 crore. With that, I would like to conclude my update, and we are happy to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star in one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star in two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Parikshit Kabra from PKD. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My question was regarding the first question is regarding the program fees. The revenue has increased by about 15%. I think last call we had the guidance was that we would be growing this by 30% from this quarter going forward and it wouldn't be backloaded. Any commentary on that?
Hi, Parikshit. Thank you for your question. So if you look at it, the overall guidance for growth for the year is 35 to 40%, and we are, you know, staying true to that and, you know, likely to increase that in the next quarter depending on how things progress. Q1 traditionally has been a slow quarter for us because of the seasonality in the business. Also, if you look at how we have tried to focus more on the PAC and PAC growth and the incentives, if you look at the incentives growth, incentives as a percentage of the program fees, both these line items correspond one-to-one to each other. That is 65-66% this quarter versus 71% last year. So the efficiency that is being built into the business, not just focusing on growth, that has been our mantra for this quarter and this year.
So then let me just ask this way, Avinash, should we assume that program fees this year will be at 15% growth? I know that you're saying that, you know, you've given a guidance of 35% at a company level, but at a program fees level, what is the guidance here for the revenue?
So overall for the year, the program fees guidance would also be in the range of 35 to 40% correction. It's just the first quarter that it has been a little tempered. This is seasonality as well as the fact that, you know, some of the travel got impacted because of the geopolitical situation through the quarter. And the first quarter generally is a little tepid, but we are seeing already spends pick up reasonably well for us, and this was a little bit across the industry as well.
Got it. Perfect. Thank you so much. The second question was on other expenses. We have seen a sharp decline in other expenses. Any commentary around that, Avinash?
As I mentioned, Parikshit, we are focusing on efficiency, trying to increase our margins and profitability. And the other expenses reduction is a reflection in that. We hopefully continue to work behind the scenes on this, and we'll try and deliver even better results in the coming quarters.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Maitri from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you are audible.
Yeah, firstly, congratulations on the results. Just two, three questions I have. Firstly, on the growth guidance, you've guided for 35-50% on the standalone basis. What sort of incremental growth do we see happening from our inorganic acquisition for this year? Could you quantify a revenue for that?
It's a little early for us because some of these acquisitions are still getting closed. While we hope to close one or two by end of the September 30th, but you would appreciate that sometimes these processes take a little while longer. So a little hard for us to quantify that and say. But suffice to say, as we mentioned, the mobileware performance, mobileware is not a acquisition but an investment, but there we have seen fabulous results, already 17 crores of revenue against, in the just first quarter, against a full year 33 crores for the last full year. And you know, the PAT also has exceeded the last year's full year number just in one quarter. So we hope to deliver great results with our other investments and acquisitions as well.
Okay. My second question is, we mentioned in the last quarter that we'll be increasing our EBITDA margin 100 basis points every year for the next 3 years incrementally. Do we still stand on that guidance?
Yes, yes. We are working towards that. That's what the guidance is.
And could you please give us some drivers for this growth happening in our EBITDA margin?
Efficiency, operating leverage, as we mentioned about, the other expenses, reduction in incentive costs. This business is a tech-first business, and with AI coming in a big way and we leveraging it, we see a lot of exponential efficiencies kicking in. It's truly amazing what AI can actually do. If you strip out the froth, there is a lot of value to be extracted using AI and AI tools.
And any guidance on what the incentive costs will be compared to the program fees? Are we targeting any percentage over there for the next 2-3 years? Currently, I assume it's 65%, if that's correct.
Yeah, at steady state, we would be somewhere in the range of 50-60%, depending on the nature of business, right? That is where these businesses, Zoya would be on the higher side, other businesses would be on the lower side. But that is where these numbers should land in the next 3 years.
Okay. And just last question, so sorry. Just the ESOP cost for next year, FY27, if you could guide on that.
A little too early because we are making these acquisitions and there could be some ESOP costs that come in as part of those acquisition structures as well. But a little too early for us to be able to guide for the next year in terms of ESOP costs.
Okay. We are guiding for about 2-3 acquisitions for this year. Is that correct, right?
So see, already we have spoken of, the acquisitions that we have announced and we are doing. There could be one more large acquisition that we'll do this year, which we'll announce in due course.
That is it from my side. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajat Agarwal from Nilgiri Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and congratulations on a good set of results. I have two to three questions, if you may please. One is on the collaboration that we do with the likes of Grant Thornton or Kotak Bank. So any customer onboarded through these collaborations, the margins for that customer would be a little lower than what we would have achieved as a direct, if we had approached the customer direct. Will that understanding be correct?
See, when we get a customer from a partner bank, banks are not allowed to make money on, non-banking services like software sales, right? So basically, it's an introduction done by the bank to us, and we then convert the customer. The bank's expectation is that the service quality is very high and the experience is great, but banks don't make money on that. In the case of GT, they bundle GT and companies like GT. They typically bundle other services that they're able to offer, like implementation services as a part of the contract, and that is something that they would charge the customer directly. So our margins are by and large, the same.
So GT is not deriving any benefit from us. Is that correct?
No, So let me clarify, right? So there's the sale of the software services or the SaaS business, right, which is our income,
yeah.
And then GT is able to monetize on the implementation services that they are able to bundle.
All right. Okay. Understood, sir. Okay. So second question is on the global footprint that was mentioned during the initial part of the call. Can you throw some more light on how we are trying to achieve that, and a related question, related observation is that we did invest in some funds. So is that part of that strategy, and do we plan to invest more amount in those funds or any other fund?
Yeah, so see, global footprint, we want to be very calibrated and very wise. We try to be as wise as we can as to how we enter into those markets with maximum impact, with minimum investment, right? So keeping that in mind, one, of course, is a strategy where we, take our solution to markets where there's greater, profit pools, like the Middle East, and willingness to pay for SaaS software, although it's increased a lot in India today. But markets like the US and Middle East, that is higher. Of course, some of the markets are very dynamic, things are changing on a very frequent basis. So in those markets, we tend to also do a little bit of wait and watch. The other strategy is to make small ticket investments through VC funds who would go ahead and deploy this capital in early stage SaaS companies in markets like the States. That gives us tremendous insight as to how the market responds. You get direct access to the founders and their thought process. Potential partnerships, some of them potential acquisition opportunities, depending on how those companies are performing and how they fit into our overall scheme of things. So basically, we are getting exposure and understanding of what's happening in those markets without actually being present in those markets physically and spending a lot of money in setting up a branch office or, office in these markets.
Right. So have you earmarked a certain amount that we will invest through these funds, or is this something which we do on case-by-case basis?
This is a limit,
is there enough case limit on those kinds of investments?
These are relatively small amounts that we're investing.
Okay. Okay, and the last question is on the acquisition of Dice. Now, there was a reference to Dice in the initial part where it was said that, there was a detailed discussion on it and an explanation on why and how the Dice acquisition made a lot of sense for us. So was this part of the Q4 call, or was there a separate call on this? Because I seem to have missed that.
The Q4 call.
Okay, fair enough. So I guess I'll revisit the transcript. But coming to the consideration that was paid for DICE, I don't think that was discussed in Q4 call because it happened in June, I think. So, I mean, though we understand, you would have some basis for it, but can you objectively take us through some bit of rationale on the amount that we paid for it? Because it looks like a very small company and it's not, it's I think 5 or 6 years old company only.
Yeah, I think it's a great company in terms of the capabilities that they have built in terms of AI and technology, especially in the spend management space. This year's revenue should be in the range of 20 to 22 crores, right? So it's a 6x multiple thereabouts to the forward-looking revenues. Also, if you look at it, the great opportunity that we have on table is to bundle our payment capabilities to that, 22 crore software sales that they do, because the revenues that they generate is pure software SaaS revenue, right? And just to give you a sense, last year our SaaS revenues was about 35 crores, right? So now you can see just the opportunity that we have when we bundle our payment capabilities and offer it to their customers. There's a lot of, value that can be extracted.
Right. Understood, sir. Thanks a lot for your time and wish you good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Aditya Ghosh from Investment Insight Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Many of my questions are already covered, but I want to ask one question. With the DICE acquisition was expected to accelerate international operation planned for FY26. Can you provide an update on specific market you are entering and expected revenue contribution from timeline?
Yeah, so the market that we are looking at is MENA, so that's the Middle East region largely, and the U.S. at the right time. But these are the two reasons that we are looking to take the solution. Little early for us to talk of revenue contributions there, but that's what we are looking at in terms of target markets.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. So just one clarification on this DICE. So like as you mentioned that DICE currently monetizes only through SaaS fee and not the payments flow. So would it be possible for you to give a sense of what kind of, say, payments transaction would be flowing through DICE's platform currently, and the kind of take rate, would it be similar to what we are generating on our platform in terms of the payments that are going to our platform?
Yeah, the take rates would be similar, right? Because the payment instruments and the use cases are on the travel and expense side and the procure to pay side, very similar. The overall volumes of spend would be hard to quantify because they are happening in third-party platforms there, right? As in third-party instruments, payment instruments or NEFT RTGS. So that, but it's very significant is what I can tell you.
Okay. And how fast would it be possible for you to get those payments flow to our platform? Would it be immediate or like it would be like a couple of quarters down the line?
It would take some time, sir.
Got it. That was it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Ashish Soni from Family Office. Please go ahead.
Sir, we keep on hearing about agentic and your model is primarily software as a service model. So in that, where's an opportunity we are seeing compared to, because we hear from Microsoft Chief also about this thing. So what are the threats and what are the the important things you are adopting for your business?
Sir, our objective with agentic AI or any of these capabilities is how can we bring more efficiency and value to our customers, right? The use cases that some of the larger organizations like Microsoft and others are building are, you know, in a very different way, in a different space. Our usage is to create, you know, very custom capabilities for travel and expense, for rewards, for source to settle or procure to pay for our Brome solution. And those capabilities are what ultimately our customer really doesn't care whether a lot of AI is used or AI is not used. They want their reconciliation, their you know, processes to be extremely efficient and for them to, you know, save time and money and, you know, have a reduced manpower in doing these mundane tasks. So that's what we are working to deliver to our customers.
In terms of pricing, we recently saw the news that Jio is coming with a very disciplined pricing for tax filing, which is a small part of your acquisition business, right? So if such sort of threats, how are you going to handle that?
Yeah, I think, again, there in Tax Planner, our use case has never been to approach it from a pure mass market perspective. What we offer in Tax Planner is very sophisticated services for, you know, people who require consulting on income that comes to them through, say, foreign income or, you know, other sources which are a little more complex. And that's the value that we bring, because a lot of people have diversified their income, young people, whether it's income from foreign sources or mutual funds or rental income, or some of them even invest in cryptos and earn income. And the tax laws, etc., are quite strict. So you need to be able to make sure that you're fully compliant. And that's where we are approaching this through the corporates. Like we mentioned, Bosch, and we have other customers like HCL and Accenture, etc. We are approaching it through the corporate to the employee.
And last question regarding your upcoming acquisition. So which are the target areas you are targeting, like in terms of like adjacencies? What are you targeting in the upcoming acquisition? If you can throw some light on that. Not, I know it will be September or somewhere next this year. So if you can throw some light on that, that will also help.
So it's in and around the space that we are as a SaaS fintech in the space, spend management space, but giving specifics beyond that in terms of adjacencies is a little hard, because we are looking at a variety of companies. The thesis has been consistent, and in the previous years we have shared what our thought process is, that it has to be either EBITDA accretive or product accretive, and culturally it has to be a good fit. So those are the kind of things that we are looking at.
Okay, thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Shankar from Mandal, from Alvik Pharmaceutical Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on the great set of numbers. My question, I have two questions actually. One is, obviously, there was a mention of a lot of AI initiative and development which are at different phases of deployment. Wanted to understand, are these completely in-house or through a third party or some collaboration with some other companies as well? That is the first question. And second, how much of expenses are there in tech or capex in tech, especially in FY25?
Yeah, so first question, basically, is this in-house or is this through partnerships? This is largely in-house, but across our different acquisitions and investee companies. As Dr. Raj mentioned, we are consolidating our tech and engineering teams, bringing the capability together. So that's the thesis. I didn't get catch the last part in terms of...
What kind of capex are we incurring in specifically developing tech in-house in FY25?
In FY25, we invested close to 40 crore.
Just in developing tech, right?
Developing, yes. Totally on this.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay from AK Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is that I am to this company. So can you put some color on what are the products? And currently we have mainly three products, Zoyer, Save and Propel. So what are the different use cases of all the three products and how it add value to the our customers and its employees?
Thank you. So the three products basically, sir, cater to all the expenses that corporates incur outside of budgeted capex. So Propel caters to channel incentives. Save caters to employee, all expenses related to employees, whether it's their travel and you know, other expenses of that kind or benefits. And Zoyer is largely focused on all the vendor payouts and other payables that the companies have. So we try to digitize all of these, integrate deeply with the corporate's ERP, corporate's HRMS systems. And the whole idea is that there's a lot of, you know, decisions or a lot of policies that need to be enforced before a payment or a payout happens, right? As to who's approving this, is this approved, not approved, the person who's approving it, does he or she have the authority limits, does it require 2-3 levels of approvals, all of that gets configured, the policies get configured and implemented on our platform. And then there's a lot of analytics and a lot of, you know, insight that gets generated through the dashboard that we have. And that also is of a lot of value to the corporate. To the user, who's typically an employee or a channel partner, through the mobile app, they get, you know, the ability to be able to seamlessly file their expenses, to be able to actually in real time see where their money is and how their money can be spent most effectively. So that's the benefit that the user gets, especially in terms of being able to file their expenses on the go is a big, big value add for them.
Okay. So basically our product is the large scale enterprise product like CRM, which is solely focusing on spend management and vendor payment, right?
Yes, so 30 years ago, sir, ERPs were relatively unknown. 20 years ago, HRMS was unknown. 10 years ago, CRM was a little unknown. We believe in 10 years' time, spend management would be a very established category. And we hope to be the ones who are the torchbearers of this category, at least in India.
Okay, sir. Okay. And my second question is, how many currently, how many players are there in India that provides the same type of products of spend management like us? And what is the competitive intensity in the products that we are working in? And I have also seen that Razorpay and all these payment gateways do have some typical product line as ours. So can you put some light on that also?
Yes, surely, sir. So if you look at the spread of our solution, the horizontal spread of our solution or our platform rather, where we span across rewards, we span across accounts payable, we span across employee expenses and benefits. To the best of our knowledge, nobody does this at an enterprise grade level across all these three segments, you know, and then covering prepaid cards, corporate credit cards, UPI, etc., which we do today. Regarding other companies, I wouldn't want to comment specifically on any other company. The company that you mentioned is also a partner of ours, solution to their customers as part of Razorpay X. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Understood. And sir, my last question is, we are doing significant expansion in terms of inorganic growth and we have acquired many companies in the past 1 to 2 years. So what is the logic behind that? Is that for the cross-selling of other products to our existing clients, or is that for expanding our capabilities in terms of service offerings and increase the consolidated top line?
So we believe this space is ripe for consolidation. There's a lot of value that gets built through scale and operating efficiency. And we are able to today attract, you know, a lot of opportunities given the position that we are in. And we are able to, you know, hopefully close those deals at very attractive valuations. So this is a mechanism that we are using to be able to scale up rapidly and consolidate our market leadership.
Okay, sir. Thanks. Thank you so much for the elaborate answers and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kushal Gonka from Mangal Keshav Financials. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. So my question was, how is the cash flow looking for Q1, and what is the direction for the whole year? Like, what percentage of EBITDA can we expect to convert? Because since the last 4 or 5 years, I can see that cash flow conversion was one of the main issues. So if you can just let me know what are steps that we are taking for that, and what can be the guidance on it. Thank you.
So if you look at it in the FY25, right, we just turned positive. And obviously, as we're in the growth phase, the cash flows, operation cash flows were negative in the last couple of years back to FY25. We turned positive in FY25. And we envisage this year also will continue the momentum, and we will do that thing. So because we are in the growth phase of 50 to 60% in the last years, obviously the investment has to go back to the operations. That's where it resulted in negative cash flow. But optimistically, we will turn positive. We will continue the momentum, and we will be in the positive in the current year as well.
Okay, but like any percentage do you want to give in the range, like how much EBITDA can you convert?
Two early, only Q1, so possibly we will give an update on the September next quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to the time constraint, I will take this as the last question. I would now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for participating in today's call. We hope we have addressed all your queries and provided valuable insights. We remain optimistic and focused on the future growth of the company, and we are excited about the opportunities ahead. For any further information, we request you to get in touch with SGA, our investor relations advisor. Thank you, and have a nice Independence Day in advance.
Thank you. On behalf of Equirus Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect our lines. Thank you.